Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen and I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Melissa, who is part of the Sangha on the East Coast and has agreed to be with us this evening to talk about the Santa Sabina New Year's Retreat. Welcome, Melissa.
Hey, Jen. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. I guess you guys weathered the hurricane okay, huh?
Sort of. I'm in the middle of being without power for 3 days. It looks like we won't get it for another four. So it's been interesting. It's been a workshop all in and of itself. So.
I bet. So the reason that we're talking about the New Year's retreat tonight is that it's actually just gone up on the schedule for this year. The dates this coming year are December 27th through January 1st, and it's really quite an extraordinary retreat, so we wanted to bring people's attention to that opportunity and thought a good way to do that would be to talk to someone who, I think it was last year you were with us, is that right?
Yep, it was, and actually I had been on the retreat in October. There was a retreat in Connecticut, and that's where you had said it's basically the New Year's retreat is, in your opinion, the best retreat all year. And I thought, well, there's no way I can go on another retreat, 2 months from now. And, of course, I sort of, as soon as I let go of that idea, one thing led to another. And before you knew it, I was on a plane flying to the West Coast. So it was extraordinary. It was really great.
Isn't that just so perfect? That I love how you put that. As soon as I let go of that belief that had nothing to do with reality, then I could actually be open to the possibility of going.
Exactly, which is kind of, in my experience, how everything works, especially with relation to practice. But I'm just so grateful that I was open to it, and I did it, and it was an awesome experience.
Yeah, it really is a special retreat. I was right, wasn't I?
Yeah. You are. I mean, every retreat, is awesome. I think everyone I've been on for different reasons.
Yeah.
But that, for me, it was... I want to say it was five nights, but I can't remember. And I know some folks had some weather challenges then, so some folks weren't there for the whole time. But so that was the longest retreat I had been on, and it's just a really peaceful environment there at the retreat center, not like anything I had ever experienced before.
Yeah, and maybe you could say a little bit about the retreat center, because actually a lot of folks who have done retreats with us maybe have only been to the monastery.
And actually I've done three now, I think, and I've never been to the monastery,
right,
so I kind of have the other side of it. But it truly is, I think, a retreat center. It's on or right near a campus of, I think it's a college, but I'm not sure. But
I think that's right.
It's very, very peaceful, sort of wooded area. And, in fact, I think it kind of rained on and off the whole time that we were there. But it sort of, to me, that added to the atmosphere. And, there's a nice big room where we met for group and yoga and sitting. And then there's the area, where we ate. And then there's a courtyard. And the rooms where we stayed were very... I was trying to think about it this afternoon. It was kind of everything you need, but nothing that you don't need. So very simple. And I think, and I don't remember because I had a roommate, but I think maybe you had the option, or some people did, you could pay a little more and be in a single.
I'm a single. I think that's usually how they work it. I'm not sure if registration will go on that. And, I just wanted to underline that because since you haven't been to the monastery, folks who have been, it's pretty, we live pretty close to the elements here for the most part. And so this really is a retreat center.
No, I would not. It's everything that you need and nothing that you don't need. But from what I understand, it's not as close to the elements, if you will, as being at the monastery.
It's very simple, but quite comfortable,
really nice.
There are even indoor bathrooms right down the hall from your
room.
Exactly.
Like and for me, I know some people sort of, especially people that I know, I have... actually, my sister is part of the Sangha also, and she lives on the West Coast, and she's been to the monastery, and, when I described to her having a roommate and having a room, I mean, that's a very different experience. But for me, it's part of the whole workshop aspect of it, sharing a room with somebody. Of course, it's the privileged environment.
Of course.
So, you know, and she would ask me, how does it work to be in the privileged environment but sharing a bedroom essentially with somebody? And I said, you know, it's part of the workshop. I mean, it really, it's, you know, I mean, everybody can sort of imagine what that's like. It's great in its own right, and it helps you to work through stuff. But
yeah.
My favorite sort of aspect of the environs was, I think it's called, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Jen, but the book room.
Oh,
I'm pretty
I know.
Sure that's what they
the
call it.
The pillow room.
Yeah, the pillow room. Okay,
yeah.
I was close. I knew it was some kind of noun
yeah.
like that. But
yeah.
It basically, the whole time, at least when I was, whenever I was in there, it's kind of all windows, and it has a big fireplace in it. And there was
beautiful.
Basically a fireplace, a fire going almost continuously.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just this great atmosphere. And, you know, for me, if we weren't in group or hadn't, you know, something on the schedule, you know, because you have a roommate, you're not going to be necessarily inclined to be spending any extra time in your room. So I would be in the pillow room, and it was just, you know, it was just really a nice place. I could have, you know, spent even more time there. It's really just,
yeah, and
just
one of the things, you know, you said earlier that there's that nice big room where we met for group and also yoga. One of the things I love about the retreat is the schedule has some of everything. There are workshops
uh-huh.
in the morning. There's gentle yoga during the day. There are groups with Sherry in the evening. And plenty of time, as you say, it's gorgeous around there. The view
yep.
of the bay, of you know, the bridges on San Francisco, it's just beautiful. And plenty of time to walk and enjoy yourself, cups of tea in the pillow room. So I just, for me, it kind of has some of everything.
Yeah, it really does, and also the thing, and I think this is probably true of many, if not all, retreats, but how accessible Sherry is throughout the whole time. And you know, my sort of funny thing that happened to me when I was there is, you have guidance with her, and it never even occurred to me that I would have more than one guidance appointment with her. So I ended up not ever looking at the schedule again and missing a second guidance appointment with her. And that in and of itself was sort of like, it's such a golden opportunity. And of
yeah.
course, that was an opportunity for self-hate to kind of swoop in there. But, you know, she's so accessible, which I know everybody involved with the Sangha probably knows or has experienced that. But, you know, to me, it's such a personal experience in that way that you really have access to the teacher, you know, in addition
yeah.
to the monks,
yeah.
which, and that's a whole other level of having access to these folks giving you guidance. It's to have access to Sherry is just, you know, it's just extraordinary.
You know, I think that's worth underlining, Melissa, because it is extraordinary. I mean, Sherry's, you know, known worldwide, and there are thousands of people who are now part of the Sangha. And so, obviously, you know, her time is of a premium. And this is really one of the only retreats, maybe this year, the only retreat, where there are guidance sessions with her. And so that is it's an extraordinary opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing quite like that. And the neat thing now that I think is new, at least the last few years, now that we are using recorders as recording devices as a tool, is not just having a guidance appointment with her, but recording it. Because then, I mean, it's just like the radio show when you call in or whatever. It's not like you have that one experience with her and then you sort of only have your memory of it. It's now, you know, whenever I need to or, you know, if I'm inspired to, I have access to that guidance appointment with her.
Right.
So you never lose that, which is just really, you know, priceless thing.
Yes. And so, you know, not to give anything away, but it is a really special experience to bring the new year in with the Sangha. I really appreciate
yes.
that. You know, we talk, there's a tradition in Buddhism of ending one year in the way that you want to bring in the next. And of course, we all want to bring in the next year with conscious compassion and awareness. And it's really quite special to do that. This is also the largest retreat of the year. That's the reason we use the facility up in Marin County, because we can't accommodate the number of people who want to come to this retreat at the monastery. And so we use that retreat center. It's also, as we talked about, way more comfortable. I mean, there's heat and it's, you know, all those beautiful rooms and all those things. But it is the largest retreat of the year and really, really special to bring in the new year with a large group of Sangha. So,
yeah, I agree. And I've probably done a little bit of everything in terms of bringing in the new year. And this was just, yeah, this was above and beyond anything I've ever done. It was really special, and to me, no better way or surroundings to go from 1 year to the next. So it was really a gift.
Yeah. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for being on with us this evening and talking about the retreat.
Thanks, Jen. I appreciate it. It was great talking to you.
Hope you get your power back soon.
Thank you. Yeah, we're hanging in. 3 more days should be here, so.
Wow.
And I'll appreciate it more than ever, frankly.
Exactly. That's great.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And Michael, I have a couple things I wanted to say in terms of the schedule, if I may, before I turn it over to you.
Yes, please.
One is that a woman in the Sangha is doing a really fun fundraiser, a yogathon, on September 7th at Foothill College. So that's down in the San Jose Mountain View area.
Yes.
So if people are interested in that, I don't actually have a website for it, website address. So if people want information about it, they can email Africa at Living Compassion, and we'll be sure that they get the information they need for the fundraiser. But I think it's, you know, several hours of yoga in apparently a beautiful spot on that day. I think that's, what, a week from tomorrow.
Great.
And all of the funds go to benefit the work in Africa. So that's really great. And I'm sure when you do the schedule, you're going to be announcing the next There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat that actually also begins a week from tomorrow, I believe. And
yes.
In addition to the retreat being extraordinary, what's extraordinary is that there are still spots in the retreat. So
wow.
Just wanted to underline that. We're actually in the middle of a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat right now as we speak, and so all of those folks are listening to the radio show, and I'm sure they are cheering you on to sign up and come to the fabulous There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. So,
great. Can I reflect the yogathon info to you?
Yes, please.
So that's next Wednesday, September 7th.
Yep.
And if people are interested, email africa@livingcompassion.org, and that's at Foothill College, which is in the San Jose Mountain View area of California.
That's exactly right.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Have a great show.
Okay. Thank you, Jen.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
Good. That yogathon thing sounds pretty darn exciting.
Yes, I've never heard of such a thing.
I haven't either, and I'm wildly curious to find out the hours and like that, but I think I'll just email on in there and see what the deal is. Yeah, and I was going to actually talk about the There's Nothing Wrong With You as well, so I'm glad Jen mentioned it. They are in the middle of one right now, and then next, Wednesday, I guess it is, week from tomorrow, the last one of the season will be happening, and I think there are like 2 more slots available or something like that. So I'm hoping that there are people out there who have been on the fence and saying, well, you know, I'll wait till the next one. And now they'll go, oh, my goodness, last one of the season? Why, I don't want to go through the holidays being miserable. I'm going to go find out there's nothing wrong and like that.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So have we done all the announcements of things coming up? Because I have one.
I have a whole bunch here.
Oh, you do? Oh, good. Okay.
I do.
Let's hear yours. And then if the one I want to mention isn't on there, I'll just, as we know, jump right in.
Okay, good. Yes, as you just mentioned, There Is Nothing Wrong With You starting next Wednesday, September 7th. Sounds like there's still 2 spaces there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, September 17th, the first of the season, 1 day at-home working meditation retreat guided by the monks.
Right.
And that's from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then the following Saturday, September 24th, guidance day for monthly donors.
So that's if you're somebody who gives regularly to the monastery, you get to sign up and have a guidance appointment on that day.
Yes.
Is that how that goes?
Yes, phone guidance appointment.
I'm going to start doing
that. And I can highly recommend it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yes. And it's time to make plans to join you, Sherry, and the monks at the 10th Annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 1st.
It is indeed.
Coming right up.
Coming right up. Yeah, shocking sequence, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Yes. And then your deepest heart's desire, a retreat with Dave McKay and Chris Larson. That's at the Southern Dharma Retreat Center in North Carolina, and that's October 21st through the 25th. That's Friday through Tuesday.
Okay. And
then
this is the one. Do you have one for me there?
Not yet.
Well,
why don't you go ahead?
Let me tell you about it. On that very same weekend, the 21st, 22nd, if that's a Friday and a Saturday, I'm going to be back at Namaste with Jenny Fox and Paul Gould, and we're going to do a meditation, yoga, and art weekend.
Great.
Yep. So we're going to do a little sitting for getting still, a little, and then some art, lots of opportunities to explore different kinds of creative sorts of things, and then some yoga breaks and like that. So.
Great. And that's the weekend of Saturday, October 22nd, and Sunday the 23rd.
No, it's actually Friday and Saturday of that weekend.
Oh, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Friday evening and Saturday. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And then also Saturday, October 22nd, the one-day at-home working meditation retreat.
Woo! If people aren't doing practice on that weekend, they're just really not trying, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Goodness, that's a lot.
Many options for participation. And the following Saturday, October 29th, another guidance day for monthly donors. And then once you have all that practice under your belt, you'll start the It's Time to Feel Good email class with Sherry Huber on November 1st.
Yes, and I'll tell you, I am excited about this one. I don't know if you've heard this, but the last class, you know, had a track A and a track B.
So yes.
An A track for people who were going through it for the first time, a B track for people who had done it before and needed a little extra something to work with. This time there's going to be a track C for people who did both of the previous ones, and I got to tell you, I'm excited about track C. So anybody who has done the What You Practice retreat knows that you can trust me when I say, I'm excited about this. It's going to be. So that's the month of November.
That's the month of November. And as Jen and Melissa talked about, a conscious, compassionate New Year retreat with Sherry at Santa Sabina.
Yes.
And that's Tuesday, December 27th through Sunday, January 1st.
Yes. With the monks and with yoga and good food. And, well, we heard all about it. It's a stellar, stunning place.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's time to talk to our callers.
Oh, yay.
Oh, my, forgot my reminders. One topic, please, and about 5 minutes.
Okay.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Long time no talk.
I know. I had the day that I was available. Stupid dust floated down around noon that day, and then I remembered about 6 or 7.
Uh-huh.
And then the next week was the 12-minute show.
Oh, right. The famed 12-minute show.
Uh-huh. And then last week I was not available, but here I am.
Yes, well, good. What's going on?
Well, it's been, you know, like I said last time, I've just been recommitting to practice in general, and it's been interesting. It felt like I was miles underwater, but really I was just snorkeling, because once I actually started really practicing more, doing everything, and then things got better faster than I was led to believe.
yes, such an important point. It seems like when we're miles underwater, that it's going to take extraordinary means to get back to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet just turning our attention to practice and starting out, we're there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a big part of it's been the email class, because I've heard about the Enya types for they pop up variously on the archived calls, and it didn't make any sense to me. And now I'm doing it. It's astonishing. I'm a 9, and I see this stuff, and So what I do is, being a nine, conflict avoidance and stuff. And so the other day I went through the whole thing. Well, I avoided this thing, and I went along to get along, and yeah. And then my eight wing comes into it, and it's like, and then I start going into all these fantasies about what I should have said, and then after that went through, then it's like, then I could step back and see, wow. So, because I've been doing this for my whole life, and so to see the whole process play out, and then to know that there's something else underneath that is not that is what, you know, it's just fascinating, and it's such a good disidentification tool.
Exactly, and that's the thing that I project an awful lot of people are getting out of it is, wow, this is really not personal. This just doesn't have too much to do with me at all. So
yeah,
that's helpful to see.
It is, and then go to and read about other people's variations on the same theme, and then the other nines who are doing this, and it's like,
I
do that.
yeah, it's amazing. You know, it's such a hit for ego to take, because of course it wants us to believe that this is all real and important and special and just for you. And then we go, yeah, well, there are actually nine of us in the world. Yeah, it's good.
It's just endlessly fascinating. So,
I'm enjoying it myself. I've gotten a lot out of it. I don't actually remember the class from 8 years ago. So, I mean, enneotypes, yes, and working with it, you know, for myself. But just getting to see what everybody else has to say. And the way this class is, you know, June is the one who's really behind this. She's actually the Enneagram. She's the Enneagram expert, and I offer the Zen piece of it. But the way she's approaching it now with the, just the wings, and then the this's and the that's, and the, you know, your security and your stress, and your, you know, it's a slow movement through. So at least for me, it's really easy to track those subtle changes.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, see them play out. So, you're walking along and suddenly you realize, oh, yeah, I did that today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you for that. I'm really enjoying it.
Good.
And
anything
good
else going on?
Well, I was excited, to hear that, the schedule is already out till January 1st. That's
a first.
That's the thing. I don't know if it's a first, but it's something to keep an eye on, because I'm going to put my vote in right now for an April month long. That's a good time for me. So, and I know you've had it at that time before, so I might as well just throw that out there since apparently it's coming up.
Say that again, Chris. Say that again.
I'll just put in my vote for an April month long retreat. Since the calendar seems to be approaching that direction now, and that's a good time of year for me, and I know you've had that time in the past. It's hard for me to get the 4 weeks in the summertime, but.
That's okay. Well, I'm glad you said that because, we can definitely take that into account. You know, teachers and students primarily started talking to us about the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed our whole summer approach because,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are all these people who can only get to us at that time of year. So, you know, when we hear what works for people, we can try to gear the calendar toward what makes it easiest for people to practice.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. I've got a retreat coming up, actually, right after the bridge walk. So it's been a couple of years. So I'm really excited to get back there.
Good. Good. It'll be great to see you here.
Thanks. All right. Well, I'll get off the phone.
All right. Take care.
You bet.
Good night.
Good night, Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thank you for joining us, Chris. And Sherry, I see New Hampshire back in the queue here, so let's try that again. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Janet from New Hampshire.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Sherry, I just wanted to thank you for the something that you gave me. I told you that I really wanted to try to figure out how to trust life more.
Uh-huh.
And you gave me a little mantra that I could say, and it was, what would love do, to ask that question?
Uh-huh.
And I have been doing it nonstop. So I'll be like driving in the car and something will come up or something will arise and I'll start thinking about something where I would normally start worrying or, you know, just anything, or I'm in an encounter and it will come into my mind. What would love do? And there's just this whole feeling that just goes through my body where I just feel like I relax and soften and look at everything differently.
I think I just had the experience that you're describing as you said that little phrase.
Really?
Yeah, I could just feel my whole energy system just kind of soften.
I love it. Yeah, what would love do? It's just like so simple, and yet it's exactly the direction that I want to go in.
Yeah, and then you don't have to, it just takes all of the, for me anyway, it would take all of the angst out of, you know, is this right? Is that, should I this? Should I that? How do I know? What if?
Yes.
So then the trusting life is just kind of automatic because there you are in love.
Yeah.
You're surely all right.
And you know that that's like today I had a meeting with a woman that I have had a lot of, trouble with in the past. And, you know, and I just sat there and I would just keep saying that, well, what would love do? And it was just, and she just kept looking at me and smiling. I was like, wow. I love it.
It's working.
Yeah, so anytime I get something like this, I make these little cards and then stick like popsicle sticks on them and stick them in my indoor plants with all these colors and stuff. And if I could figure out a way to do it where it could get into Sangha Market and I could get it out, they're really fun. They're really colorful. And so I've been making them, and I have a ton of indoor plants, so I've been sticking them in my plants. And then, you know, I walk by and I go, yeah, what would love do?
That's great. That's a wonderful image.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'll send you a picture of one.
Oh, yes, do, please, because it's the whole thing. It's the plant, which is such a gorgeous expression of love, then the popsicle stick, which is quite fun in and of itself, and then the message.
Yeah, do you know when I started making these on an at-home meditation retreat day?
Huh. Did somebody suggest it or it just occurred to
you? No, I just made it up.
Wow. Don't you love that?
Yeah, and I teach elementary school, so I had access to all these really cool, they're kind of really vibrant colors. They're sort of like crayons that are really waxy.
Oh, uh-huh.
So they're sort of like markers, but they're crayons, and I don't really know what they're called, but I just started exploring with those, and they're really fun. Anyway, I'll send a picture to you, and then you can see, but I just wanted to thank you because it was just such a gift for me.
Well, you're very welcome, and the significant part is that you used it.
Yeah.
You're taking advantage of it. That's,
yeah.
That's the key to the whole thing. Because anybody can say anything to us. But if we don't incorporate it, if we don't apply it, then nothing's ever going to happen. It's just, that's nice. And we go on being exactly the way we were before we heard it. But to take something like that and really use it, to apply it, that'll transform your life, as you've noticed.
Yeah, it already is, and I think it's been very nice for people around me.
Their support.
I project.
Yeah.
One other thing, you had mentioned that to go to Sangha Market to get a bracelet, you know, to have a bracelet made with it, but I couldn't locate that.
Oh.
So I was, if anyone listening knows anything about that or could let me know. I couldn't find any of those beaded bracelets. I've seen them before, but I didn't see them this time when I looked.
Oh, gosh. I hope our bracelet manufacturer hasn't gone out of business. That would be tragic. Okay, well, I will take it on. I know there are people listening who could probably answer that question for us. So,
okay,
I'll take that on and we'll get back to you. And maybe, in fact, the thing to do would be to let you know next week on this very show, because I'm sitting here with my practice bracelet on right now that I wear everywhere. I also have a horse pucky one that I wear most of the time, too, and I love it. It's kind of a popsicle stick in the flower pot, sort of a reminder for me. So, and I think they're great reminders for a lot of people. So, yeah, we want to.
Yeah, I may have been looking in the wrong place, but if I wasn't, yeah, I'm interested.
Okay, good. We'll let you know. Thanks,
Janet. Okay, thanks so much. And thank you, Michael, for getting back to me.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right, bye.
Good night.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Jen. How are you?
Good. Good. And yourself?
Hi.
I'm very well. I loved that last. I'm going to get myself some popsicle sticks. And
really? Yeah. What a great idea.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, so tonight is my night to call in with my commitment, and I was playing with the whole, like, calling in without having something to talk about, and got a great workshop around just that whole thing all day, and really the whole week that's been leading up to calling, so here I am.
So you've been on a week-long workshop?
Absolutely, yes. Uh-huh. Conditioning keeps trying to, you know, get me to rehearse and or tell me what a stupid idea it is or, you know, whatever. It's been a lot of different stuff. And, it's been very fun to watch the...
You've been able to practice ignoring it.
Yes, I have. And dropping it and seeing the beautiful weather come back after a hurricane and an earthquake on this coast and everything else. So, yes.
Wow. Now, I hate to get into the weather, but... You guys had an earthquake?
Yeah, there was an earthquake on the East Coast, which is kind of bizarre for us East Coast people. Yeah, and then it was just a few days before the hurricane hit. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's been very exciting.
Yeah, my goodness gracious. Yeah, that is funny to me, of course, being a native Californian. You know, the number of people on the East Coast who will say, oh, God, I couldn't live out there. I'd be terrified. What about earthquakes? Aren't you afraid there's going to be an earthquake? That'll stop that conversation, huh?
It was very interesting, yes, absolutely. It's the first time I've ever felt one, so yeah.
So what else is going on?
I love the email class. That has been amazing. It's definitely, I'm just, like other people have spoken to, just observing things. I'm still not sure. I'm between a 6 and a 1. I feel like I can see myself really clearly in both. So I don't know. I'm just continuing to play with that. But I love the class. It's been fun.
And you've done the thing where you go back and look at before the age of 25.
I have, yes.
And that
just
clear it up for you.
No, you would think that it would have. But, yeah, no.
Well,
go ahead.
You were going to say actually.
Oh, yeah, it was. I enlisted my mom to try. You know, I talked to her about, okay, what was I like before? You know, try to get the little support there. But I don't know. I could see both. So I haven't gotten that clarity yet. But I'm having a great time at the class. It's amazing.
Oh, good. And you know, the thing about it for me is that I project that this is true for a lot of people who do awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I can certainly see how I was before the age of 25, and I can certainly see those tendencies, and they're so much of what motivated me to do awareness practice.
Me too,
And after doing awareness practice, I clearly recognize all the types. I would say it's, you know, it's one of those things where, like precepts, you know, person who said to me with just kind of shock and horror, you know, and I broke one of the precepts I'll never forget it. It was such a just kind of stunned moment for me, because it's like, I think if we're looking at it in terms of breaking precepts, I bet I broke most of them before lunch. So, wow, you broke one. I would say, you know, congratulations if you're dead to that. So it's that same kind of process where I can just see myself operating out of all of the types every day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I feel a lot of that too. Maybe that's some of what's going on now, because I do recognize, you know, elements of everything. Or sometimes even when I read through the responses, like in each, I'll be like, oh, yeah. And then,
wait, that's not my type.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm trying not to have conditioning say there's something wrong with me that I haven't gotten the type completely clear yet. And like I said, it's been just such a great support, just having the class and all of the support that's offered through it has been just great.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, with the I don't know what type I am thing, it's, mm-hmm. to me, the other part of seeing myself as having characteristics of all the types, it's another great support for finding compassion for folks around us. You know, the guessing that we are all moving in and out of those various ways of being all day long, every day. And, you know, it's just what karmic conditioning is. It's not wrong. It's not a mistake. It's not even a problem. It's just another way to help us understand, yep, that's how humans is.
Yeah, I had this kind of strange work interaction with somebody, and, you know, I don't know, of course, I'm wildly projecting, but I was kind of getting a sense that perhaps the person was this, you know, this certain enneatype, and I don't know, but it just gave me so much freedom. Like, I felt a lot of compassion toward him, because I just thought, yeah, that's, you know, oh, I can see that he might have a proclivity to kind of go that direction with this, and, you know, I wouldn't necessarily have gone there in this situation, but I can see how, you know, maybe his enneatype would go. It just was very freeing, because before I would have taken it personally or made him wrong or made me wrong, and instead it was like, oh, okay, that's just maybe how it goes for him, you know?
Yeah, and again, that stepped back awareness that there are lots of ways to experience anything.
Yes, my way is apparently not the only way.
Yeah. No, it's kind of disappointing, isn't it? But also liberating. That
absolutely.
Get it, that it's, you know, what it seems so clear and obvious and straightforward to me, the other people aren't even seeing what I'm seeing.
Yes.
A lot of sympathy for all of us.
Exactly. It's so good. So I'm just very grateful, and practice works. I've had a lot of bumpy situations, and I've been recording before and after and during them when I could, and it's been amazing. And so I want to just say thank you, and that practice does work. So thank you so much.
It really does. Yep.
It does.
Well, thanks. I'm glad it's working for you as well.
Me too. Thank you so much. All right.
Bye.
Have a great rest of the show. Thank you, bye. Sherry and Michael. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, once you swam in a river.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open-air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air.
Michael,
Sherry?
Before we go on, I have to say, that's a great ad.
It is a great ad.
I hadn't heard it before. That's fabulous.
Yes,
especially
very fun.
We don't like.
Yes.
Oh, what a
yes.
Great reminder.
Isn't that what we need?
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
And they
we
do
have
good work.
And they do great work. PorchDogSoft.com.
Yeah.
Check them out.
Can't beat it. We have another caller?
Yes, we do. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Sherry from San Francisco.
Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
What's going on?
Calling in with my regularly scheduled call.
Good, good.
And it's just as much as ever a practice of, I loved that the previous caller was talking about the whole, like, not practicing, not rehearsing, just showing up.
Uh-huh. Just like we want to do with every moment of life.
I know. And I that's the thing I want to say. I love that I can practice here. I love this.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a
strangely safe place. A lot of people would not think that a show like this would be a safe place to practice, but it is.
It is, you know, and I really, really can see. I don't know how long I've been doing this now, but it's like it. I can see it starting to seep in, like these just tiniest bits of trust. Like, wow, maybe I am okay. Maybe life will provide. You know.
What a notion, huh?
I it sounds silly, but you know, it's really enabling me to see how deep-seated that whole process is.
Yeah, yeah. It's sobering to realize what a grip it has. And yet, you know, it, as Buddhists, if we go back to things like, what do you think is greater, the amount of water in all of the oceans and all of the lakes and all of the rivers of the world, or the tears that you have shed in lifetime after lifetime of suffering? And the answer is the tears.
Wow.
So, you know, what we're up against is huge. And really, we shouldn't be surprised that it's so deep and so entrenched and such a powerful force to go up against. And yet, it would tell us that it should be way easier and we should be way farther along. And if we're struggling, it's because there's something wrong with us.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it's still, the thing is, it still wants me to believe that it's got a better idea of how I should be or how life should be.
Yes.
And so it's going to lay it all out for me, make me rehearse it, then make me be like some robotic, you know,
and then
cardboard cherry.
Point out to you what a robotic cardboard cherry you are and how everything in your life is a problem because, oh, once again, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sounding.
I know. There was such a beautiful, one of the callers, I can't remember, I was listening to one of the archives, and one of the callers was talking about getting this dream job and something she had never imagined. And it was so beautiful, the conversation between the two of you. I actually recorded it on my recorder because it was such this, like we can't even begin to imagine how great life could be.
Uh-huh.
And until we just let it be what it is,
uh-huh. Yeah. And the thing about, now this is kind of, you know, this is a little esoteric, but you can handle it, and those people listening in can too, I'm sure. When we allow ourselves, kind of the way Janet was talking about, you know, when we allow ourselves just to relax completely into life, in that if it's just a split second or a moment or whatever we manage before karmic conditioning goes insane and has to do whatever it can do to bring us out of that experience, when we just relax back into life, and there's a sense that for most folks is only visible or comprehensible in hindsight. You know, you look back and realize, wow, there was nobody there. You know, there was nothing there. That was just life living. And it's all perfect, and there's no problem. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing to do. We can just relax completely into life. Then the system kicks in. What about this? And you've got to do that. But more and more as we practice, just dropping in, just letting it all fall away, split second. It's as you started out. You know, the more you do that, the more you realize that that experience is real, number one, that it feels better than anything else, that it is something that we can do every time we choose to, every time we turn our attention to that. And we begin to have this sense of, you know, it actually is possible to be in life, not have an experience of being separate from it.
I could feel that when you were saying it, just like when earlier in the call today when Jan was talking about that just that relaxation. And what a gift, you know, I think even, you know, this, like, so within the course of, you know, 40 minutes to just even, I'm sure there were even more during this call, but just those two moments, it's amazing.
Yeah.
To have that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, to have that. And to know it's possible.
Yes, to know it's possible and to see, like, what a gift. And then I know that I've said this to you before, but I want to say it again so I can hear it too again, is that it's like the other thing that's happened from me practicing this is it's the beatings have really practically stopped after I call in, whereas I used to just get it really horribly afterwards.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of like I just say, you know what, I just showed up, you know,
yes,
whatever happened just happened, that was life, you know,
yes,
forget it, it's done.
Yeah, it's over, shut up. And, you know, you're saying it in a very down-to-earth practical way that everybody can apply to their life. And the big sort of spiritual truth behind that is that everything we don't react to has no energy to maintain itself. So in that kind of situation, I do something and self-hate just kicks up a storm. And you're this and you're that and the beatings and I just sit there and breathe through it. And eventually they quit. They have to go on to something different, okay, because it's not working. And you practice that. I practice that over and over and over and over. And after a while, they give up on it because there's nothing feeding them. It's not a source of It's not a good life choice for them to keep trying to make you feel bad about something you're obviously not willing to feel bad about any longer.
Wow.
And it falls away. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to give up, of course. They're just going to, you know, go into warp speed to find something else that you'll feel bad about. But once we catch on to that as a process, that's why sitting practice is so important, right? We learn to just sit still through everything they throw at us. We learn to withdraw our attention from the voices, from the karmic conditioning, the self-hate. We withdraw our attention from it. We focus on the breath. We find that peaceful place inside of ourselves. And there's nothing supporting that system of suffering. and it dwindles. It mm-hmm. dissipates. It withers. So it's very scientific, actually.
Yeah, I love, and there's something about, I feel like I'm hearing anew from you. There's just that, you know, I suddenly was just seeing like, wow, you know. So, of course, it'll keep trying with different content or different processes, but it's like, you know, like I'm already seeing like with the course of this one, the practice. So it's like I did this with a phone call the other day. You know, there was an open air and it wasn't someone in our practice. And I could do the same thing afterwards, you know. Nope,
yeah.
No meetings.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And I can see
you. That.
Yeah, like it. I could just
go ahead.
I don't know. I'm so excited. No.
Get a little excited here.
Just that, you know, it's just the excitement of seeing that it is scientific, that it is, you know, that I can work through, and it's sort of like what you were saying, like just those. So it's like one more moment in my life of no beatings, you know.
Yes, yes, and it after a while, you know, we can sort of get to that drunk with power place because you know if you get it that. Wow, I can do that anytime.
Wow.
I can do anything. And what I know is afterwards I can say, no beatings. I'm not, no attention. And that I can actually do that. Oh, my God, talk about freedom. And then, as you say, you just start applying it. Well, I could do that there. Well, I could do the same thing over there.
But, wow, what gratitude for this practice because, you know, without having this, you know, obviously, you know, the support and the encouragement and the safety.
Yes, and the people who are doing the practice and articulating it in these very clear steps that, you know, so as you say, you know, you listen to the archives and you hear somebody say something and you apply that to your practice.
Yeah.
So there'll be people who are listening to this, who will listen to this as an archive, and they will go, oh wow, I'm going to try that, and they'll apply it, and then you know I hope they call in and report on what happened. You know.
I love it. We're so darn lucky. That is so. It's
we
so
are
great.
So darn lucky. We certainly are. Yeah.
On that note, I want to go so that more lucky
people
can
be lucky.
Yes.
All
more
right.
People can be lucky.
Good.
Thank you. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Jerry. Thank you.
All right. Bye, Michael. Bye, Sherry.
Good night.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Sherry. And we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Next caller, are you there?
Ah.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Sharon. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are, Sharon. Welcome.
Thank you so very much. I am surprised and excited again. This is my second time calling in.
Good. You're an old timer now.
I came out to the monastery in June, so I want to send a shout-out to Ken and Chris and Dave and all those wonderful monks out there. It was just an awesome experience.
And you know what's fun about it is that, I don't know if you heard, but they folks are doing a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, so I bet you remember sitting out on the West Lawn
yeah.
listening to the show. So that's what's going on tonight. So here we all are.
Hello to all of those wonderful, blessed people out there, let me tell you. I had an amazing time and am still practicing and using my recording device and am really happy just to check in tonight because I am beginning to just, you know, I miss all that support that I had when I was there.
Yeah.
And you know, so I'm starting to begin to feel that.
Excuse me, Sharon. Can Michael, can you hear that?
Yes. Sharon, can you talk closer to your phone?
Okay.
It sounds like there's a cell phone close to something.
We're getting a lot of interference.
Yes. Okay, is that better? I have my cell phone here.
Wow.
It's a little better there for a moment.
Yeah, it's kind of coming and going.
How about
any
now?
Rate, the point that you were making that I want to underline is the importance of staying connected and staying with the support.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Hear me?
Yeah. In fact, that's it's way better.
Wonderful. Yeah, staying connected, staying with the support. I'm learning so very much. You know, I mean, I just jumped on a plane and went out because I loved your work, and so everything is still brand new, and I am so much more aware of just all the, you know, I just hadn't heard of the beatings, but I'm so much more aware now of what that's all about, and karmic. Wow, it's just a brand new world, but it's transformed my life in so many ways, so many positive results. And you know, I heard you say something, and you guys have been talking about this tonight, allowing life to live you.
Yes.
Which I just love. And let me tell you, I one finger at a time some days, like, I try to practice that, you know, because I just grew up trying so desperately to control life. And, karma, I don't know. That was the example I saw around me. So this is a new world, and as I let go and allow life to give me, amazing things are happening in my life, and I am much more aware of the egocentric karmic conditioning. That's why I feel like I really do need the support.
Yes.
And,
Yep, we do. We all do. We all do. Because it is such a pervasive force. You know, there's something wrong. You're inadequate. You need to fix something, improve yourself, change something. You know, all of that information is just so pervasive for all of us. And so as we begin to move through that, and of course as we begin to move through it, it escalates, and it can just get darn near overwhelming and downright frightening if we don't have, you know, people to hold hands with and be reassured that it's okay, we're going to survive this. In fact, it's going to get better and better.
Thank God for the archive. I'm just so grateful that, you know, that's what I grab when I'm not doing my recording. Those archives have been just a lifesaver for me.
Yeah.
You
be with Sangha all the time.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was when you mentioned fear. That's one thing that I've realized that I have allowed control my life, you know, not wanting to try new things, just the amount of fear that I think I denied even having, you know, so it's just an amazing journey. It is an amazing journey.
Yeah, and one of the things to remind yourself of when it wants to point out fear in your life is that you were willing to jump on a plane and go to unknown ends of the earth in order to find support for yourself and learn to take care of yourself in a compassionate, kind way. So that's, I hope, a good reminder that you've got a whole lot of what you need there inside of you pulling for you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so very much. I appreciate you all.
Hey, and one thing before you go that I want to say to you as an encouragement to everybody else, that you listen to the archives all the time because it sounds like you're pretty far away from us. So you listen to the archives all the time, and then you called in. And that's a really important step for everybody to take because, again, it's all of us doing this together that makes the difference. And when people take that step of going from receiving from Sangha to being a participant who is giving to Sangha, it's big for all of us. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you so very much. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, all you wonderful monks.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sharon. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Isn't that good?
It is good. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Mary Jane calling.
Hi, Mary Jane.
Good to hear your voice and be on the show.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I've had a big practice opportunity with respect to calling into the show because it's taken me a few times to get on, and so that was interesting. I think just the last thing you said around, actually I can't even remember what it was, but it somehow helped me kind of relax into life and feeling, you know, and not kind of the story conditioning was kind of revving up, and it was around what it meant, you know, what was going on around not getting on the show.
So hopefully what you got to is, wow, Sangha is big. There are a lot of people trying to call in and talk to one another.
Yeah, yeah, and what a gift to participate actually by being on hold too, because I listen with like at a different level sometimes when I'm on hold than when you're just, when I'm listening on otherwise.
Yes. Yes. Because there is that, goodness. Am I, what if I'm next? And
yeah.
I love the ones where the people are convinced that they're, you know, there's just no way they're going to get on. And then all of a sudden Michael says, you're on the air. It's like,
yeah.
Ah!
Yeah. One thing I've been looking at that, is, you know, I've been doing 15-minute timers. You know, I think we do that sometimes during the working meditation days, and dance, or, you know, do different things and just notice where, bring my attention back.
Yes.
And I notice that a lot of the time, although this could be a story of conditioning, a lot of the time I'm in a worry. I'm in some kind of worry thought. And I keep coming back. You know, as often as I can. I'm just curious of ways to, I don't know, maybe I could do 5-minute timers,
yep.
but to come back even more often.
Yep.
I guess I just
Yep, that's exactly what I would do. You know, anything, that's all those things that we do about, you know, sticking red dots on your fingernails or, you know, painting them black or whatever will be a signal to you that, okay, where am I now? I need to come back to the breath. Here I am. Okay, I'm here. So, yes, if you can get something to bring you back every 30 seconds, that's the place to go for. Because being in the past, being in the future, you know, that's the imaginary worlds that karmic conditioning lives in. It can't live in the present. So, yes, it's going to get people to regret and feel bad about the past, feel guilty, and go through those stories. And then it leaps forward into the future where you need to worry about the future and try to figure things out. And then it'll have you back in the past. It's always jumping, leapfrogging over the present where it doesn't exist. And then, of course, if it can, it'll make you feel bad about the fact that you regret or feel guilty or that you're worrying.
Yeah, I did catch that. I caught that and said, okay, well, I'm going to be accepting of the fact that this keeps arising, and, you know,
yes.
I keep coming back to the moment. So.
Exactly. And so finding yourself in that state becomes a reminder to come back to the present. So that's a good thing. And then, as we know, it'll just go into whatever is the next thing that you'll fall for, that it can distract you with. So we can't, you know, we can't take it personally. It's which, you know, but I have to say it anyway. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's a con artist. That's what it does. And we take it personally that it keeps running cons on us. But that's what it does because that's what it is. It's not because of what we are. So it's going to use everything that it can come up with because it's fighting for its life. Either you get the attention and you're in the present and you're experiencing life and freedom, or it gets the attention and you're suffering and it's alive. You know, it's a really kind of a simple equation. So, you know, if it's a thief, then what it's going to do is try to take from you. It's going to try to steal from you. It's not personal. It's not stealing from you because you're a bad person. It's stealing from you because that's what it does. And if it's one of those, only one person is going to have whatever it is, it's going to try to get it, and it's your job to try to hang on to it. So it's your life. It's your attention. It's your awareness. You're trying to hang on to it, to be present in it. It's trying to take that away from you.
Yeah, and I just was noticing this. There's definitely this belief that it's hard to stay present. I just noticed that coming up. Like, well, how come I'm not able to stay present more often? But even that question is coming from conditioning. So.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because, of course, it wants you to believe that it's hard to stay present. It's not hard to stay present. Staying present is blissful. What's hard is to break the habit of giving our attention to conditioning. That's what's hard. Can you see how that's so?
Yeah, it's basically, I guess that's what I'm experiencing is like the residual muscle memory or something of being in that state of mind so often going to conditioning that it's just kind of still there hanging out a little bit. And I'm guessing because I've noticed this with other things that eventually I may not realize that it's eventually just kind of gone, but I think I'm in that space where it's hanging on and it's just such an old habit.
Yes, yes. And speaking of old habits, you know, it's like this came up in the last retreat. If you were anybody who is ever a smoker, okay, quitting smoking feels awful. It feels awful. But that doesn't mean not smoking is an awful state. Not smoking is a fabulous state. Quitting smoking is a trip through hell. So we got to make that trip so that we can get to the great state of freedom where we don't have that habit any longer.
Okay. Yeah, somehow I think that requires trusting life because it sounds somehow that brings up a lot of fear.
Yes.
Just, you know, have to go through hell when I feel like I've been through enough hell with conditions.
Well, keep in mind, the fear is it.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's afraid.
It's afraid you're going to go through that hell and get rid of it once and for all. But your heart isn't afraid.
No. And I'm attracted to the present moment. You know, there's an attraction there. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's blissful. Yeah.
It really is
the only place to live.
Yeah. So, and in terms of going through the hell, I guess it's just the hell of conditioning is probably going to get stronger and stronger, try to get stronger as I move further and further away from it.
That's right. It's going to hit you with everything it's got.
Okay.
But the thing to remember is its resources are finite. Yours are infinite.
Okay.
You can outweigh it. And in the same way that we were talking about with an earlier caller, you know, you just sit there and breathe while it does its stuff. You just sit there and breathe. It does it. It tries. It hits you. It yells. It screams. It does everything that it can think of. But, you know, it can't actually do anything to you. And all you're doing is waiting it out.
Wow. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much, and I'm so grateful for you and everyone in this practice because it's really transformed my life as well as other callers have mentioned. So thank you.
Thank you. It's worked its magic on all of us, and we are very fortunate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, good night. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. You've been listening to another great episode of Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, that was great.
It was great. See you next week.
Okay. Talk to you next week.
It's a date. Good night.
Good night.